What a wonderful privilege and opportunity it is to be with you on the Lord's Day, and to be able to worship our God together, and to sing these hymns, which so fittingly go with today's thoughts that I'd like to share with you. We welcome those who are out there in television land and radio land as well. We invite you to come and visit with us at any opportunity that you have. And for those of you who are sitting in the auditorium this morning, we are thankful that you are here. We hope to be of encouragement to you, and that you be the same to us as well. Dr. Alexander McLaren, a man of Scottish origin, became a Baptist preacher and served in the Baptist Church from 1846 to 1903 when he retired. A story is told of Dr. Alexander McLaren, how he used to tell of a man of great intellectual power whom he longed to win. To do so, the famous preacher preached a whole series of sermons dealing with the intellectual difficulties. To the doctor's delight, the man came shortly afterwards and said that he had become a convinced Christian and he wanted to become part of the church. Overjoyed, the doctor said, "And which of my sermons was it that removed your doubts?" "Your sermons?" asked the man. "It wasn't your sermons. The thing that set me thinking was that a poor woman came out of your church beside me and stumbled on the steps. When I put out my hand to help her, she smiled and said, 'Thank you.' Then she added, 'Do you love Jesus, my blessed Savior? He means everything to me.'" The man then said, I did not then, but I thought about it. I found I was on the wrong road. I still have many intellectual difficulties, but now he means everything to me too." No, it's not the sermons that we preach that truly change lives. It is the Word of God. And it's the Word of God living in you when you live in accordance with it that makes people think, that makes people ponder, that makes people search, that makes people want to change. Do you love the Lord? I believe it's safe to say that you do. There's even a greater question to be asked and to be answered. Does He mean everything to you? When He comes to mean everything to us, then we can truly say we love the Lord. I love the Lord because He is so good to me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, says Psalm 107, verse 1. We have been called to thank God because He is good. We've done that this morning in the hymns that Lynn has led us in. Furthermore, His loving kindness, that is to say, His unfailing love, kindness and goodness is everlasting. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men, are the words of Psalm 31, verse 19. Here we see that God's goodness is great when it is judged by quantity and quality. He is portrayed as storing up His goodness, and then at the appropriate time, when it is most needed, then He gives to those who reverence or worship Him and come to Him for protection. God's goodness to those who come to Him is evident, and it's manifested before everyone. So the goodness of God is seen in that which God has given to you after the days of Israel's captivity, there would come a time in which the children of Israel would change their course. They would seek the Lord again, and they would welcome David as their king, Hosea wrote in chapter 3 and verse 5. It's a reference to the reunion of the two kingdoms as they would look forward to the Messiah that would come. It would be a total reversal then of what Israel did in their revolt from the Davidic kingdom and dynasty in the days of Rehoboam. Hosea continued to write, Hosea 3 verse 5, "They will come trembling to the Lord and to His goodness in the last days." Israel was to return. They were to seek God. Two words that connotate repentance. Thus, Israel would return to God in fear, but would be received in love. Some will come to the Lord because of the fear they have of Him, yet He will receive them in love. The goodness of God is not only an attribute of God, but it's a foundational truth that every Christian should embrace. Look with me there, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 asks the question, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Out of kindness, God withholds due justice. He endures man's rejections of Him because of His goodness. God's kindness then is given to us in order to lead us to repentance, to lead us to a change of self, both heart and mind, that results in a new self, a new behavior, and a regretting of the former behavior and dispositions that went against Him. The psalmist in Psalm 116, verse 1, praised God because He heard his prayers and supplications. We thank God for His goodness. He means everything to me because He is so good to me. I love the Lord because He never breaks a promise. As we think about promises, the strength of any promise is based upon the ability of the promise maker to fulfill the promise made. We might render it in terms of, don't make a promise you do not intend to keep. Well, concerning God, He has chosen to be that way. Psalm 89 and verse 34. "My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips." God will not violate a covenant which He enters into, nor will He change a promise that He has made. He is trustworthy. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast then the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Our hope as Christians is sustained today and into the future because of the one who gave it. The one who gave it is faithful. When we read of the history of man's relationship with God, we know that God always does what He promises to do. He's proved Himself over and over again throughout Scripture with so many men and women of the Bible. He's provided the story of it so that we too can place our confidence in Him. God keeps every promise made. He means everything to me because He never breaks a promise. I love the Lord because He gives to all, especially the undeserving. We are not deserving of God's love. We are not worthy to be loved by Him. We are, in fact, most unlovable because we follow our own ways, rejecting Him and refusing then to listen to Him. Even so, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. The Greek verb rendered shows or demonstrates indicates to us that God's love for us is not limited to the past, but is relevant in the present. In other words, God loves us in the here and now. And God demonstrates the love that He has for us now in that while we were yet sinners, He loved us then and sent His Son to die for us. God sent Christ, who is in perfect unity with Him and who is a part of Him, to die for us. In that, He showed His love. God's love is agape love. God's love shows us that He loves us no matter where we are spiritually. He still loves us. In fact, He means everything to me because He gives to all, especially the undeserving. I love the Lord because He teaches me how to love and forgive. I know how to love and I know how to forgive because I have learned how to love. I have learned how to forgive. And I've learned from the very best teacher. God is my teacher in these things. As I love and forgive like God, I am fulfilling His will. A student made an appointment to speak with her preacher. She wanted to know God's will for her life. So she explained to the preacher that she prayed often to know God's will, but was just not making any progress in that area. After a lengthy conversation, the preacher asked her, "Would you do God's will if you knew it?" She paused and smiled, then said, "Well, it depends on what it is." The preacher responded to that statement by saying, "That may be the reason you don't know God's will." James chapter 1 and verse 22 admonishes readers, "Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." The Word of God demands response by action. For Christians, the message is to make sure that we continue to be doers of the Word. It's on us as readers, it's on us as hearers to make the message and transform it into action. In the case of loving and forgiving, a passage in Ephesians chapter 4 tells us what to do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." We are to do good to people. We are to have compassion upon them. We are to forgive each other just as God in our union with Christ also has forgiven us. That's what we are to do. But we must take the instructions and carry them out in our living. The Lord means everything to me because He gave a clear example to follow on how to love and how to forgive. I love the Lord because He wants me even when others may not. John chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us of the love of God for us and the extent of that love. Notice with me some important teachings from this verse. God told us about the passion which He has, for God so loved. He told us about the parameters in which He would show that love, the world. He told us the proof of that love that He gave. He told us of the price which it cost Him, His only begotten Son. He told us of the prerequisite on our part, that whoever believes in Him, the protection that He promised then was that we shall not perish. Yet He will make the provision to have eternal life. So great was His love that He sacrificed His Son on our behalf. In the first epistle of John, John wrote that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he says that Jesus is the propitiation for my sins, and He is the same for your sins. But John then added, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. Those whom the world deems as outcasts. Those whom the world overlooks. Those who are not chosen by the world. God chose. God's grace then is universally available to all that will receive it. Paul made this urgent appeal to those in Corinth to accept the grace of God, which we can read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul's words there are a quote. He says, God says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Paul then comments, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord wants us just as much today as He did when He gave His Son to die for us. His love is not diminished in the slightest. The Lord means everything to me, and I love Him because He wants me even when others may not. 4-year-old Martha, hugging a doll in each of her pudgy little arms, looked wistfully up at her mother and said, Mama, I love them and love them and love them. But they never love me back. Do you think God ever feels like He keeps loving us and loving us, but we don't love Him back? Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord? Are you showing your love for Him by keeping His commandments, His authoritative directions and instructions? He instructed in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you been obedient to His instructions to believe and to be baptized? Jesus warned, unless you repent, you will perish. Luke 13, 3. Have you shown your love for Him by repenting? Jesus instructed everyone who confesses Him before men, he will also confess before His Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Do you love the Lord? Have you confessed Him to be the Son of God? To be Lord and Savior of your life? God directed, or rather Christ directed, in John chapter 3 and verse 5, that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Those who love God want to be near Him. They want to be in His kingdom. They want to be found in that number when the saints go marching in. Do you love Him? Have you been obedient to His instructions to be born of water and of the Spirit? It was also Jesus who said to Christians, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2 and verse 10. Do you love Christ? Have you shown your love for Him by being faithful to Him? Have you shown your love for the Lord by following His instructions for receiving forgiveness of sins? To those who have been baptized, we ask, are you continuing to show your love for Him by obeying His commandments? Does He mean everything to you? When He does come to mean everything to you, then you can truly say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Because He does mean everything to me. Does He mean everything to you? Give it some thought this morning. And if there is a need in your life to respond to Him, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing to encourage you.